Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our prayer meetings. Nice to see all of you here today. We hope you are adjusting well to the new lockdown today. We say this every week, but I really want to encourage you to keep in touch with one another. Very often we get overwhelmed with the many things we have to do, and because of that, we get so focused on that. And we lose sight of what is really important, and we lose sight of what God is saying to us, what God is doing. And in fact, these are the times that we truly need God, and we need His people around us as well, so that we can journey together, so that we can remind each other of God's truth, God's goodness, and God's love. So we are not meant to live this life alone. So as we look to God, I will encourage you to connect with God's family, connect with one another, and keep in touch with each other, and come and join us even on our fellowship on Sunday. And if you have any prayer requests or you would like to talk, please don't hesitate. Feel free to call any of the leaders, call us. So for the past 2 weeks, we have been looking at the book of Psalms. We have looked at the structure, the theological background, and the spirituality of the Psalms. So I hope that has been helpful and is helping you to read the Psalms better. And if you have any questions or you need any clarifications, please feel free to ask us, to talk to us, and we will be glad. In fact, we will be very excited to discuss about the Bible with you. So today we will look at one of the Psalms, Psalms 33, and this is a praise Psalms. And the title of the Psalm, the title of the sermon is God of the Chaos. Before that, let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you, God, that you have never left nor forsake us in good times and in bad times. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are always with us in the best days of our lives and in the darkest days of our lives as well. We want to continue to learn to look to you when we are in the chaos that we are in now. And we want to learn to praise you like the psalmist does. So Lord, I pray that you help us to understand your word. You help us to listen to your voice. Teach us, Lord, to pray with the Psalms. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So just before we look at the Psalms, let's just recap what we learned the last few weeks, okay? For the past 2 weeks, we learned that all the Psalms, all 150 of them, are poetry. And just like any other literature, these Psalms has genres in itself as well. So why do we need to identify the genre? Is because genres guide our expectation when we read or when we hear or when even when we watch something. So 2 weeks ago, Pastor Adam gave us a good illustration about genres. So he gave us, he said, when we read a book or when we watch something and it says someone is knocking on the door, and we have different expectations on what will happen depending on the genre of the book that we read or the movie that we watch. So if it's a thriller, there is suspense. It is keeping the readers wondering whether there is danger at the door. Or if it's romance, then the readers might hope that the person at the door is the lover. So you see that the same sentence in different genres bring out different contexts and different expectations to the readers. All right. So as we find out the genres, the categories of the Psalms, it helps us read and understand the Psalm better, and as well as the intent of what the author of the Psalm wants to tell us, okay? So Psalms 33 is a hymn, a psalm of praise. So a hymn is a song that was used to celebrate a well-ordered world. So when things are all in its place, when things are well. So there are three parts to a hymn, and the structure is usually like this, okay? So the first part is a call to worship. The second part is reasons for praising God. And the third part is renewed call to worship. So as we read Psalms 33, you can see this structured, and I've put the verses there so you can follow as we read it. All right. So let's look at the Psalms. So So I'll just, may I just ask Rohan to read for us, please?
Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From the heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope of deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you.
Thanks, Rohan. So the first three verses is a call to worship, right? So I'll just read the first three verses again. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him with a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. So this, the psalmist invites the community, the righteous, the upright, to join him in worshiping and praising the Lord. And this actually emphasizes that what we have been taught about community, to gather regularly as a community of faith, to express and to share our faith together as a community that which God has blessed us. So therefore, the praise is not just done as an individual, but as a community who praise God together, all right? And secondly, we will notice that the focus of the hymn, the Psalms of Praise, is God. The main character is God. So in these 22 verses of Psalms 33, the psalmist actually referred to God 39 times. So the spotlight is on God. It is about God. Right. And thirdly, the psalmist invites the people to praise the Lord in various ways, in singing, with instruments, with music. And then verse 3 tells us that we should praise God with a new song, with excellence in our skills, giving the best to God, and with passion, with joy and excitement. So just want to explain a bit about a new song. So we need to take note that it doesn't necessarily mean literally writing new melodies and new lyrics, which is actually a good news for many of us. But it means with a new attitude, an attitude of praise, of thanksgiving. So when we combine all this together, it is as we approach the throne of God to praise him, the psalmist is urging us to rejoice, to be joyful, to give our best, to come with an attitude of praise, of worship, of thanksgiving. All right. And next, the psalmist gives us the reasons for praising God in verses 4 through 19. So here he listed two major reasons. The first one is in verses 4 to 5. So verse 4 says, For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. So the psalmist tells us that God's word and works is inseparable. So all that God does matches his word. He is who he says he is. and he will act the way he speaks of himself in scripture. So the God who did all the things we read in the Bible, the creation, Adam and Eve, Noah and the flood, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, the Exodus, the laws, the judges, the kings, the prophets, and even in the New Testament, the life of Jesus, the Gospels, and the letters. All this, the God who was always part of his people in the scripture that we read, the God that was guiding, leading, speaking to them, is the same God that is with us now, who is also guiding, leading, and speaking to us. So he is doing his work in our midst. And we can be assured, and in fact, we must be confident that God would act the way he did in scripture, because that is who he is. His word and his works are the same. All right. And verse four, it says the word of the Lord. That means the Torah, the law, the instructions that God has given to the people. And this Torah, the word of the Lord, the Psalms, we read in the Psalms, it urges the people again and again to meditate on it day and night. And let's look at Psalms 1 2 weeks ago, and it talks about planting ourselves at streams of river to meditate upon the word of the Lord. And today, the word of the Lord is Holy Scripture. It is the Bible to us. And the word of the Lord, it is right and true. There is no evil, there is no wicked intent in God and his word. So as we read his word, as we hear his voice, we can be rest assured in his goodness, in his faithfulness, because he is right and true. And then in verse 5, the psalmist listed some of the characters of God. Verse 5 says, "The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love." So when we look at the word righteousness, God calls his people to be holy because he is holy. So Psalms 1 again, the first psalm of the whole collection of the psalms that sets the tone for the psalms, it tells us that the righteous must be planted by streams of river. They must meditate on the word of God day and night. So Christ is the word became flesh. So because of the blood of Jesus, today we are declared righteous. So we are called to be righteous through our worship, through our devotion to Christ, to our Lord and Savior, through meditating his word in scripture. And then justice, the Lord loves justice. So God is the righteous God, a righteous judge who would bring vindication to the righteous and punishment to the wicked. And even the later verses in this psalm, it will also remind us that God is seeing everything. He knows all that is happening around us. He knows everything that is going on in the world. And we can be assured that nothing is out of his sight. So no one will escape judgment, not the wicked and not the righteous. All right. And at the end, it says the earth is full of his unfailing love. And we know God himself is love. God loves his people, and as we heard a few Sundays ago, he is the definition of love. So he doesn't just express love, but he is love. So everything he says, everything he does, is motivated by his love for his people. And then in verse 6 onwards, it tells us the second reason for praising God. So it reads in verse 6, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. They are starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm." So by word, God created the heavens and the earth. So what God said came to pass in creation. He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. So when we look at scriptures, and it is the same thing over and over again. When God said something, it came to pass with his people. So when God blesses, his blessings come. When God assured that his presence will be there, his presence will be there. And even the judgment that God foretold came to pass in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. And then in verse 7, the psalmist says, He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He put the deep into storehouses. So in the ancient Near Eastern, the nations surrounding Israel. So like Israel, they have their own creation account. And in their account, the waters of the sea were depicted as a force of chaos, because the sea, the water, is unpredictable. It is dangerous. It cannot be controlled. So for the Bible's creation account to speak of the God of Israel subduing the sea, it actually shows the readers the power, the might of Israel's God, that he is not only superior over nature, over this chaos, but in that sense, he is also more powerful than the other gods of the nation, because the other gods couldn't subdue this chaos. All right. And then in verse 7 here, the psalmist says, God gathers the waters of the sea, the chaos, and put it in its boundaries, inside a jar, into storehouses. So we don't know exactly when this psalm was written, but the people of Israel have definitely gone through a lot of chaos in their lives. Now, a few examples: the Tower of Babel, the slavery in Egypt, the battles and wars, the rivalries between the northern and southern kingdom, eventually during the invasion of Assyria and Babylon, leading to the exile. And even the New Testament, there were a lot of chaos. The Jews were still under the Roman Empire, and at the same time, they were also suffering under the selfish and arrogant leadership of the Jewish leaders. And Jesus himself, he went through a lot of chaos. And eventually the early church, they were persecuted for their faith in Christ. But in all this chaos, God was in control. And as we read in scripture, we see that even through the darkest hours, God did not abandon his people. There was always a message of hope. God was always there with them. And God is definitely more powerful than the chaos. The chaos, the challenges that we go through, is held in his boundaries. And God will not allow it to overcome us. So he has it in control. He has it where it is. And even the darkest seasons that God allows us to go through, we can be assured that we are under his sovereign care. And therefore, in verse 8, the psalmist can say, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. So we are called to revere and fear the Lord, not the chaos. Because God is working through his word. God is keeping the chaos in its boundaries. And even when the water, the storm, the waves looks like it's uncontrollable, God actually has it in control. Then in verse 10 onwards, the psalmist expounds on the sovereignty of God. So verse 10 says, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plan of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. So verse 10 talks about the chaos in the form of plans and purposes of wicked people. And in Psalms chapter 2, which we have also looked at 2 weeks ago, and it is also part of the introduction of the whole collection of Psalms, Psalms chapter 2 introduces us to the wicked plans, wicked plots that the nation has against God. So the evil one is constantly at work to gather people to reject, to disobey, and go against God and his word. And he is causing more conflicts. He is bringing more troubles into the lives of every person, and especially those who have committed to pursue God, because he wants to hinder people from following God. But we are told that God frustrates, he hinders these plans of the wicked. The plan of the wicked will not succeed. And in contrast, God's plan is not affected by the plots. It is not affected by the purposes of the wicked. His plan stands firm and his purposes last forever. And we know from the beginning of time, God's plan was to bless people from all nations by revealing himself by bringing them in communion with him. And the devil and his followers has done a lot, and they did all they could to stop this plan. But nothing they did could stop God from doing his work. God achieved his purposes through Jesus. God revealed himself to all nations through the person of Jesus, and God brought salvation and redemption to all mankind through the death and resurrection of Jesus, bringing us into communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And today he continues to bring people into this communion by sending his people into the world to preach the good news of Jesus. So God is right and true. God is faithful to his word, and he is faithful to his promises, to his plans and his purposes. And no one can come against him. No one can stop him. And therefore, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance." Then in verse 13, it says, "From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his strength, his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death, to keep them alive in famine." And throughout the Bible, many people have tried to depend on their own army, their positions and wealth for salvation. So because of that, they have created trouble, not only for themselves, but for the people around them. So for example, Saul, after being king, he wanted glory for himself. He thought position and army could give him that, so he forsook God. And then David, after committing adultery, he thought he could cover up his sin by getting Uriah to be killed in a battle. And Judas decided that 30 pieces of silver was more important than his relationship with his master, more important than the truth. So he betrayed Jesus. And the Jewish leaders, in order to secure their position, their glory, they refused to listen to the truth. They refused to accept Jesus, and they murdered an innocent man. And you see, all that these people did, the actions that they did, brought trouble not only to their lives, but to the people around them. They brought a lot of death, a lot of heartbreaks. And there are many more examples, but I think we get the picture. And all of them got into trouble they couldn't fix. And eventually it became worse and worse. And when they were stubborn and unrepentant, it actually ended very terribly for them. And then in compared to the plans of mankind, verses 13 to 15 tells us that God sees all things. God knows all things because he is the one who created all things. So nothing is hidden from his sight. He knows the heart of the people, the thoughts, the motives of each person, each action. And in contrast to those who depend on what they have in the world, the Lord protects and delivers those who fear him, those whose hope is in him. So the army, the strength of a warrior, the strength of a horse cannot save. The money, the positions, the achievements cannot save us. It is the Lord who saves us. In the early church, we know they were persecuted for their faith in Christ. The persecution could easily have destroyed their faith, because it seems like when they follow Christ, it brought more pain than blessing to them. But it is through this persecution, this chaos that they had to go through, that they learn how to trust in the presence and the reality of the Holy Spirit. They learn how to depend on the grace and the strength of God. And it was that brought them hope. It was those things that sustained them to stand firm in their belief, to faithfully, to fervently preach about the Lord, that saved them, that redeemed them. And even when they faced death, they counted it as a joy, because their hope is in the Son of God who has risen, in the Son of God who will raise them to be united with him again. And then finally, the psalmist renews his call to worship. He renews his commitment to hope and trust in God. So verse 20 says, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name." And the psalmist actually includes the community into the commitment because he used the pronoun we, right? And I've broken down verses 20 and 21. So it says, we wait in hope for the Lord. So the psalmist anticipates that God will act. Therefore, he waits in patience, trusting the Lord's providence. And he is our help and our shield. The psalmist is assured and confident in God's protection. In him, our hearts rejoice. The psalmist has the joy of the Lord in the midst of waiting. And for we trust in his holy name. So as we learned last week, the name of God reveals his identity, who he is, what he is like. So because the psalmist knows the Lord, he knows his attributes. The psalmist knows that he can trust the Lord who is right, who is true, who is faithful in all he does, who loves righteousness, who loves justice, whose love never fail. And then verse 22 says, "May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you." So above all, the psalmist yearns for the unfailing love of the Lord. His hope is in God, not in what he can get from God. He knows that his God, who loves him, who cares for him, is faithful and is sovereign over the chaos that he faces. He knows that he is under the sovereign care of the God who loves and cares for him. And why the psalmist can come into this place is because he has experienced God's supernatural deliverance in his life. You know, when all odds were stacked against him, when deliverance was impossible to the human eyes, God came and God saved. He knew that it was not because of himself. He knew that all that he possesses cannot save him. He knew that it was God who saved him. So therefore, he could praise God because he knows his God is greater, is mightier, is stronger than the vicious and overwhelming sea of chaos that he was in. And therefore, he can put his hope in the Lord. He can wait in hope for the Lord, and he yearns for the unfailing love of the Lord. And today, I think I don't need to convince you to say that we are in a massive chaos. We are in the middle of nowhere in the sea. The pandemic doesn't seem to be going away. We are in full lockdown again, and it is difficult to see the end of the tunnel. And especially also with the unhelpful leadership in our government, we feel very hopeless. And many of us are also struggling through personal chaos in the midst of this larger chaos. And it's easy to miss out on what God is doing in all this. This chaos, these challenges is overwhelming, and it can blind us to not be able to see anything but the problem itself. But if we pay close attention to the things of God, we will slowly realize that God is working. He is doing something in every person's life. Like last Sunday, we hear the testimony of what is happening in India in the midst of all this bad news. So if we would only tune in to God and listen, we will see God and his work in our midst. He is drawing people closer to him. He is sustaining people as they go through tremendous stress. And he is connecting us with his family so we can love and care for each other. And he is sending people to provide for the needs of the poor. And he is building our faith through these challenges to recognize that we truly need the Lord and we can trust in him, and we need to encounter that unfailing love of God in our darkest hours. So I do encourage us to learn, to listen to what God is saying, to focus on what God is doing in the midst of all this. This chaos has not changed, it has not affected God and his plan. God is in control, and he subdues the chaos. So let us learn to praise him for who he is. Let us learn to wait in hope. Let us learn to yearn for his unfailing love. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. And there is a list of prayer items on the slide, but feel free to pray for any items that God has put in your heart. And as we are learning to pray with the Psalms, I do want to encourage you to join us in prayer, because prayer is one of the things that can only be learned when we are doing it. So it doesn't matter how long or how short your prayer is, it is a conversation with God. So join us as we lift up these items to God. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that you are a good God, that you love us, that you care for us, and yet you are sovereign, you are mighty, you are strong. And God, we want to admit, Lord, a lot of times when we come before you, it is because we want to ask you for something that is out of a petition, a need. But God, I pray, Lord, that you teach us to come before you in praise, in thanksgiving, just praising you for who you are, thanking you for what you have done for us, thanking you for the deliverance that you have brought, thanking you for the protection that you have given us each day, God. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to sing a new song to you, to change our attitude into an attitude of praise. We want to praise you because your word is right, because your word is true, because you are faithful, because you love righteousness, because you love justice, because your unfailing love is with us. And we thank you, Lord, that whatever you say will come to pass, that you are trustworthy. We know we can trust your word. We know that there's no hint of evil in who you are, in your word. You are truly good, God. And today, God, we want to admit also, Lord, that we are in a massive chaos that is uncontrollable, unpredictable. It is dangerous. It is mysterious. And we cannot subdue this. But we know you can, God. We cry out to you, God. And we pray, Lord, in the midst of all this, you help us know, you help us understand, you help us trust, Lord, that you've got this chaos in its boundaries, in your hands. Just as you gather the waters of the sea into a jar, you will not let these challenges that we face to go out of its boundaries. You are keeping us. You are protecting us. You are delivering us from this chaos. So Lord, let us not fear these things, God. Let us not be affected. But Lord, let us look to you and fear you, Lord. Teach us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be like the early church whose faith was unshaken and who was not destroyed, whose hope was in you. Help us, Lord, to wait patiently for you to act. Help us, Lord, to be confident and to be assured in your protection. God, to fill us with your joy as we wait. Help us to know you more each day so that we can trust in your holy name. We truly yearn for you. We yearn for your unfailing love. So come, Lord, fill each of us. Come and minister to each person. We want to put our hope and trust in you, God. We praise you. We worship you. And we love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And dear Lord, even as we have heard the psalm, dear Lord, the call to worship, dear Lord, we pray that we will always remember that is what the Spirit stirs within our hearts, that we should, Lord, call out to others to worship you, that we should rejoice in you for many things that you have done in the past, dear Lord. Even in the present, Lord, let us remember, let us give thanks, let us sing a new song unto you. We pray, Lord Father, that we will be a community of worship, dear God, that there will be praise, Lord, and thanksgiving and rejoicing in your presence, dear Lord. We pray, Lord Father, that as the psalm is, that there we will allow your Spirit to move us, Lord, into reflecting and celebrating, Lord, the many things you have done for us, and especially, Lord, the victory that we see, Lord, through the cross and the resurrection of Christ. And even the chaos of death is defeated, dear Lord, that there is eternal life in you. There is hope and salvation, dear God. Dear Lord, as the psalmist praises you, let us remember, Lord, that we can praise you because it is not by the strength of our hands, Lord, that deliverance comes, dear Lord, but it's through your strength, dear God. It is not the powerful who will dictate terms, Lord, but it is you, Lord Father, the one who knows all things, who sees our hearts, Lord, who knows, Lord, everything that is happening within us, dear God. And we rejoice, Lord, because you know our heart. You know, Lord, what's happening. You know, Lord, where we stand, and we can rejoice as your people. So, Lord Father, let us reflect, Lord, and know, Lord Father, that you are a God who holds and keeps things, Lord, in its rightful boundaries. You will not allow us to be tempted, Lord, beyond our strength, beyond our means. You will not, Lord Father, allow things, Lord, to overwhelm us, Lord Father, for you set the boundaries, dear Lord, and we are safe, Lord Father, in your hands. So, Lord Father, we pray that even now, Lord, that there will be a new song of praise in our hearts. As we think, Lord, that many times we were so overwhelmed, Lord Father, but you came and you rescued us. That many times, Lord Father, there were so many greater and more powerful forces, Lord, at work, but your hand lifted us, Lord. The many times that we felt that no one knew, Lord, what's happening within us, but you knew, Lord, and you came and you spoke and you sent people, Lord, to minister to us. Dear Lord, we pray that the words of the psalmist will echo, Lord. Dear Lord, in our hearts, dear Lord, Father, that your eyes are on us, dear Lord, us whose hope is on your unfailing love, Lord. And that's where our hope is, dear God. We know, Lord, Father, our strengths, our weaknesses, the things that we have done, and the things we have done wrong, Lord, Father. But we know, Lord, it's because of your unfailing love, Lord, not our righteousness, that we can now put our hope in you, dear Lord. And so, Lord, we pray that as your people, as your worship community, Lord Father, we will wait, Lord, with hope. Lord, as the psalm commands, Lord, that we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. And dear Lord, that's it, Lord Father. We may not see many things, but we have hope, Lord, because you are our hope, Lord, and our hope rests in you, Lord. And we pray, Lord Father, that we will see this wonderful trust, Lord, enrich us, Lord Father, each day as we experience your unfailing love, as you unfold, Lord, these things in our life. Dear Lord, help us to learn, Lord, to wait. Help us to learn to understand. Help us, Lord, to see beyond, Lord, the physical world. Help us, Lord, to see into the spiritual realities. Help us see, Lord, the cross, the life of Jesus, the glorified life of Jesus. Help us see him, Lord, Father, enthroned above all powers, King of kings, Lord of lords, ruling and bringing all things under his feet, dear God. And even in this moment, let us rejoice and see that, Lord, Father, and pray for that, that even in these challenges, you will bring things in your under your feet, that you will rescue people, that you will save them from sin, that you will save souls, Lord Father, that you would realize and convict the world, Lord, of its hopelessness without you, Lord, of its bankruptcy, Lord, of its lostness, dear God. Even as we, the world experience this, Lord, hearts will turn back to you and know, Lord, only you can provide answers, dear Lord. So, Lord Father, we look to you. And we look to you for our nation. We look to you for the governance, dear Lord. Father, we don't have the powers they have, dear Lord. We don't have, Lord, the positions they have, Lord Father. But we look to you who is above all things, dear Lord. And it is you who commands our hearts, who commands your church, Lord. And so, Lord, we know that we have every spiritual blessing, Lord, in you, Lord Father, to make that difference, to bring that impact. We have every spiritual authority in you, Lord, to come and ask in the name of Jesus. So let us pray, Lord Father. Let us seek your face. Let us believe, Lord Father, that the many things we prayed for, the things that are happening at home, in our workplaces, with our families, dear Lord, that our prayers are in good hands, that you, Lord, will see us through, that you will guide us, that you will teach us, that you will show us, Lord, each day, Lord, how we, Lord, live with hope, how we live in trust, Lord, in midst, Lord, the challenges that we face. Dear God, speak, Lord. Reveal, Lord, Father, as we hold on to your word, display, Lord, your kindness and your righteousness, Lord, in our midst. We thank you, Father. We thank you for bringing all of us here in your presence. Lead us and guide us, dear Lord, in your love, in your goodness. Bless every person, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.